This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Bob Holsworth joins me on the program. He is the founder and president at virginiatomorrow.com. Bob, how are you, sir? You have a nice weekend?
I'm doing great, Coy. What a weekend, huh?
Yeah, just beautiful. We're getting some lovely weather, aren't we?
Can't complain at all about any of this.
So, Bob, I've got to give you props and congratulations. You really called this. You posted something to virginiatomorrow.com before I'd even heard about this Confederate History Month this year. You posted something and you said, this is the next big viral national news story out of Virginia. And within 24, 48 hours, it was everywhere.
You know, that really wasn't rocket science, Coy, because these issues of cultural identity, the issues that have a racial dimension in Virginia that have to do with Confederate history are extraordinarily important to a lot of people. And then secondly, Coy, what's happened is that, you know, over the last two or three years, Virginia has really gone into sort of the, what you might sort of say is the eye of the national storm, political storm. We were here in 2008 when Obama carried Virginia for the first time in 44 years. In 2009, we were at the center of the national dialogue when Bob McDonnell won in Virginia. So it was not very surprising that McDonnell's activities as governor were going to really come under the spotlight, largely because he himself had been mentioned as a potential candidate in the Veep Stakes for 2012.
We're talking with Bob Holsworth. VirginiaTomorrow.com is the website. Yeah, Virginia is really under the microscope, as you have written, and this political prairie fire, as you described it, about Confederate History Month. Give us the backstory, Bob. I mean, what have you learned? And you don't have to tell us who you've talked to, but how did this happen? Because this, it just almost seems like it was a staff decision that he found about afterwards.
Well, you know, it's still a little bit baffling, Coy, but, you know, here's what I think. You know, first of all, I should say there are a lot of people who believe that the whole affair was entirely deliberate, that the McDonnell administration made a decision to appeal to what they call a segment of the GOP base or the group of people who are against Obama. I still find that hard to fathom, because I think if they were sitting around game planning, you might say, the upside and downside of this proclamation, it's hard to believe that they wouldn't have come up with the downside that looked exactly like what happened. So my guess is that it may have well been what they've described it as, just a major mistake and a major omission. You know, I get a sense that here they were, you know, thinking about this new VITA contract, the Information Technology Group. They were worried that that looked like it was going to cost the state even more money. They were thinking about how they were going to spin that. Somehow this fell through the cracks. It got out there, and it became just a disaster. You know, at the moment, we still don't know who originally composed it. And what was curious about this is that you know, there was a Confederate history proclamation way back in the Allen years that looked similar to this. And then in Jim Gilmore, when he became governor, issued a proclamation that had, you know, slavery mentioned and said that if it wasn't for slavery, there wouldn't have been any Civil War. So it seems to me that in some ways, it's hard to imagine that this was even originally drafted inside the administration. You know, I'm wondering, and I don't have any knowledge about this, was whether it was drafted originally by an interest group and just kind of got through without any serious vetting.
Well, and that interest group is the Sons of Confederate Veterans, who actually requested this. I mean, we know that for a fact. They're the ones who said, can you please create Confederate History
Month?
Right,
and so I guess the interesting question would be to ask is whether they had anything to do with actually developing the proclamation. Did they send a draft proclamation to the administration? Did they do anything about that? And that's a question that I really don't know the answer to right now.
Yeah, we're talking with Bob Holsworth, VirginiaTomorrow.com. A lot to talk about here. I guess one of the things that's been most interesting to me is to see this Confederate base, I don't know what else to call it, you know, this part of the GOP try to spin this as, oh, well, you know, the Civil War really didn't have a lot to do with slavery. It was okay that slavery wasn't mentioned in Confederate History Month proclamation because, you know, it really didn't have much to do with it. That I don't know where somebody went to school.
Well, Coy, it's not an argument that's going to get that much credence, and that's one of the problems that has faced Governor McDonnell in the aftermath of this, is that in some ways, members of that group and people who have that perspective became his spokespersons on national television, something which I think was the last thing he really wanted to happen, given his interest in redefining conservatism as a pragmatic, economic-based, jobs-oriented philosophy. And all of a sudden you have, this dispute raging on national television, and folks from these groups, who believe that slavery wasn't at the heart of the Confederacy or at the heart of the Civil War, making this argument on national television. At the same time, the governor himself is calling it a tragic mistake that he made.
Yeah. Am I correct that he was actually called on it the first time and said, no, it wasn't a mistake, this is the proclamation, that it's not about slavery, this is about Confederate history, and then he got a little bit more pressure, Doug Wilder, Sheila Johnson, and then he goes, oh, no, wait, we did make a big mistake.
No, I think the first time that came up, and then the first time that he heard about it, I think was on this conference call about about VITA, the Information Technology Agency, and I think the statement was something to the effect of, it wasn't very significant, and there's some dispute about whether that was a comment about slavery or a comment about the proclamation in specifics. And then by the next day, I think the governor clearly took full responsibility. He said it was a major mistake, a major omission. He apologized for the lack of inclusiveness that this proclamation showed. And essentially said he really wanted to move Virginia in another direction. He was very, very sorry about this.
Yeah.
His political critics aren't letting this go, and more than anything, it really has damaged his national standing, I think, because the national media has just had a field day with this, for essentially a week now.
Yeah, yeah. We're talking with Bob Holsworth. VirginiaTomorrow.com is the website. The phone lines are open, 977-1070. That sort of leads me to my next question, because it's no secret that Bob McDonnell has an interest in a career in politics, and he would like to go further, whether it's the Senate or the House of Representatives, wherever he wants to go. And this can't help him, can it?
No, it certainly doesn't help him on the national stage, Coy, because what is happening is that every time his name is mentioned, it's being mentioned in conjunction with this proclamation. So, clearly what I think Bob McDonnell is going to do is going to really focus his attention on Virginia, really focus on repairing relationships with some of the groups that might have been angered or frustrated by the proclamation, and really try to develop a record here in the state that belies what seemed to be implied in the original proclamation.
We're talking with Bob Holsworth, VirginiaTomorrow.com. What say you? That is the question, 977-1070. Your thoughts on this proclamation. David is on the line in Charlottesville. David, thank you so much for the call. You go right ahead.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Very good. Happy Monday.
Good. I was just giving a call. I don't know about, what the governor, meant in any admission or any statement that he made or anything like that. But when I was in school, and I went to school up north, I was kind of taught that the abolition of slavery was almost an afterthought or a second thought on both sides, on both the Union and the Confederacy. And, they didn't actually, put the proclamation out there until well after the Civil War was underway.
So you're talking about the Emancipation Proclamation.
So, everyone's saying it's like almost, the Civil War is all about slavery. Well, that's not really, from what I understand, true.
Bob Holsworth, thanks, David. Thanks for the call. Bob, what do you think?
Well, it's hard to imagine, as Jim Gilmore said in his proclamation, that you would have had a Civil War if you didn't have slavery. Now, it's not to say that every actor in the war was motivated by that, or that it was at heart simply a moral crusade to abolish slavery, but clearly the tensions between the North and South, the economic tensions that existed as well, were all rooted in the fact that you had two very different economic systems, and one rooted in the subjugation of one race by another through the institution of slavery. So while I think the caller is correct to note that not all of the actors perceived it at the time as a battle to, or the war about whether or not slaves should be freed, the fact of the matter is that without slavery, without that being at the root of the economic system in the South, there is no civil war.
We're talking with Bob Holdsworth, VirginiaTomorrow.com. Charles is on the line in Charlottesville. Charles, go right ahead. You're on with Bob Holdsworth.
The question is this McDonald's macaca moment, and do you think on the national scene it'll impact him the way it impacted George Allen?
A great question.
It's a very good question, and certainly it is a moment that's had tremendous impact on the at least the short-term prospects of Bob McDonald nationally, that all you see over the national news is this. And this is not the kind of issue that many people want to talk about even right now. And the dilemma that he has is that let's say he's being considered for a vice presidential slot in 2012, and somebody says, well, what's the potential downside? This really now comes to the forefront. So certainly I think the caller is right nationally that it is going to have a significant impact on Bob McDonald. But he is in office now for another 3 years. He's going to be able to develop a record as governor. He's going to be able to develop a record of accomplishments here in Virginia. And if he's able to do that well, my thinking is that Virginians are likely to be a little more forgiving about this than the national media if it turns out that Bob McDonald's argument that this really isn't a good indication of where either his interests or his ideology or his heart is turn out to be accurate.
Now, you've done some research. We're talking with Bob Holdsworth. The phone lines are open for you, 977-1070. Bob, you've done some research about where this came from. I mean, for somebody who's listening who might be thinking that, oh, governors have always declared Confederate history, this is sort of a relatively new thing, right?
Yeah, the whole phenomenon seems to be a little more recent. And I don't pretend to be a Virginia political historian of tremendous knowledge. But what I did note is that in 1990, after he was elected governor as the first African-American elected governor in the United States, Doug Wilder issued a proclamation. And interestingly enough, the Wilder proclamation was titled The Last Days of the Civil War, the final chapter in Civil War history, in which Wilder, remembered and recalled the sacrifice that was made by all people, soldiers and citizens during the Civil War, where he applauded Robert E. Lee for the decision to bring the war to a conclusion with the surrender at Appomattox. But the interesting feature of Wilder's proclamation was that what he did was that the two heroes of the proclamation were Ulysses Grant for providing magnanimous terms to the vanquished, and Abraham Lincoln, who he noted in this proclamation was a beacon to all mankind and one of the great leaders of American life. So Wilder in 1990 really set the stage. And what's happened, Coy, is that since then, some of these Confederate history proclamations can be read, you might say, as a response and a reaction to what Doug Wilder did in 1990.
It's sort of a conservative reaction, conservative pushback to that.
Yeah, I think that the Sons of Confederate Veterans were very upset with the Wilder Proclamation and very active and energetic in trying to put forward these proclamations about Confederate History Month that in many ways, in some ways, gave solace and consolation to those who thought that we should be celebrating Confederate history and not necessarily Abe Lincoln and Ulysses Grant.
Well, here's the middle ground, and personally, this is what I think. If you are going to have the power of government to issue a proclamation like this, and the seat of the governor to use the bully pulpit to put the spotlight on something like this, why not just have Civil War history?
Yeah, a lot of people are saying that right now, that that essentially what you want to do in these kinds of incidents, that you want to remember the past in both all its glory and all its ugliness.
Absolutely, yes, yes.
And then secondly, you want to try to use those memories to move forward in an inclusive and positive way. You know, there's some effort to do that here in the Richmond area that's led by a former person who you know well in Charlottesville, that's Ed Ayers, who's now the president of the University of Richmond, who is leading a movement to discuss what he calls the future of Richmond's past. And I think that's something that Governor McDonald is really going to have to take up at the state level. How do you discuss the past in Virginia in a way that doesn't in some ways ignore some crucial elements, that remembers both its glory and its ugliness, and at the same time provides a vehicle for talking about the future in a more inclusive way that includes all people in the Virginia communities.
Yeah. Bob Holdsworth, the founder and president of VirginiaTomorrow.com. Bob, before I let you go, I got to ask you about some big news that came out of Virginia's 2nd Congressional District just a few days ago. They, like the 5th District, it's very similar to the 5th District here in Central and Southside Virginia in that you have a Democrat who won in pretty much every Republican district, swept in on the arguably on the coattails of the Barack Obama election. And so Republicans are lining up. They're just climbing over each other to win the nomination to run against Glenn Nye down in the 2nd Congressional District and Tom Perriello in the 5th. And in the 2nd, it looks like Scott Ridgell will be the likely person to run against Glenn Nye, Democrat incumbent. But Kenny Golden recently announced just a few days ago that he's going to run as an independent, and they're all freaking out that this is going to split the conservative vote. What are your thoughts on that? You watching that?
Well, I am, Coy, and that's one of the big issues that's emerging here in Virginia and nationally, with the prominence in particular of Tea Party candidates and Tea Party folks, that, you know, will the Republican Party be a unified party this November, or is it going to be split, or is a conservative vote, you might say, going to be split just at a time when it looks like it's very possible to unseat some of these Democratic incumbents, particularly those that you noted were swept in with Barack Obama. So clearly that is now a danger in the 2nd District. People are worried that it could potentially become a danger in the 5th District as well. And I could tell you, Coy, that throughout Virginia, in a number of local jurisdictions right now, there's really a battle going on for control of the Republican Party between what you might call the GOP establishment and some of the newly mobilized folks who are connected to the Tea Party. And in fact, both in Campbell County and I heard in Matthews County, Tea Party candidates have done very, very well in local GOP district elections for control of the Republican Party. So we're going to have to watch this very, very closely.
Yeah, it really is interesting. And the comparable thing to the 2nd District is if in the 5th District, for example, if Robert Hurt of Southside, of Chatham, Virginia, Virginia Senator Robert Hurt, if he got the nomination, and we saw like a Lawrence Virga, who has the money to run as an independent Tea Party candidate, that would be sort of something similar happening here as to what's happening in the 5th District.
Right, that you know, sometimes third-party candidates don't really have much of an impact. They get less than 1% or 1% or 2% of the vote. But if you get a third-party candidate that's well-funded, who's connected to a movement that's as energetic and enthusiastic as the Tea Party has been, that could pose, you know, real issues for splitting the conservative movement come the November election.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, Bob, before we let you go, we got one caller. Woody's on the line in North Garden. Hey, Woody, happy Monday.
Hey, Coy, thanks, man. Can you say Albemarle?
Albemarle.
I'm picking on you. I apologize. I love you, man. I think maybe we should have a Vietnam War History Month, and obviously the Greatest Generation, a World War II History Month. Why not?
They sort of start to stack up, don't they?
Well, they do, actually. Korea. Thank you, Coy.
Yeah.
Good day.
Yeah, absolutely, and I get the point. And, Bob, I guess his point is that where do you stop?
Right, and I guess I think if I was Bob McDonald today, I guess I would like to, you know, end the whole practice of proclamations, wouldn't you?
Yeah, indeed. It might serve him well. Bob Holdsworth at VirginiaTomorrow.com. Bob, thank you so much.
You take care, Coy.
Absolutely.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.